Now, we're going to start looking at the readings. The first reading is Sirach 35, 12 to 18, though they skip verse 15. I don't know exactly why. Now we're going to have a bit of a translation problem. Let me read a little bit from the translator's foreword. That is, the book of Ecclesiasticus, as they call it in the Jerusalem Bible, the book of Sirach, we had in a Greek form, but we knew, because he says so here, the translator, the nephew of the grandson, I've forgotten, of the author. Then, little by little, Hebrew pieces of this book were being discovered. There were some up in Agenitsa in Egypt. Agenitsa is a place where the devout Jews place a biblical scroll when it's beyond use now. They don't burn it. They don't throw it away. They put it, it's like a sacrarium. They put it in this place and just leave it there. And we were lucky enough to find some of these, and then those would be a Hebrew text of Ben Sirach, but not all of it. Anyway, I'm just going to, it starts off, many and wonderful are the gifts we have been granted by means of the law and the prophets and the others that followed them. The Torah, the Nevi'im, and the Ketuvim, the writings, where he calls them here, that followed them. It is not enough merely for those who read the scriptures to be learned in them. Students should also be able to be of use to people outside by what they say and write. So it was that my grandfather, Jesus, his name was Yehoshua, having devoted himself more and more to reading the Law and the Prophets and the other volumes of the Fathers, see the Law, the Prophets, and the Writings, and having gained ability enough in these matters, was brought to the point of himself writing down some of the things that have a bearing on education and wisdom, in order that those studiously inclined with and with obligations in these matters might make all the more progress in living. You are asked, therefore, to read this book with goodwill and attention and show indulgence in those places where, notwithstanding our efforts at interpretation, we may seem to have failed to give an adequate rendering of this or that expression. In fact, fact is that you cannot find an equivalent for things originally written in Hebrew when you come to translate them into another language. That's the translator introducing the book of Sirach, his grandfather's work. Now, the part we have, that means what? That is very difficult to have nowadays a real agreed-upon text. I've got three or four translations and editions here on the table, and they don't really agree with one another. Perhaps the most solid is the one in the Anchor Bible by... name slips my mind. But it'll come. It's a friend, Franciscan. It'll come. Anyway, so I'm going to read what this lectionary has here. There's been another edition of the lectionary since this one. I can't get my hands on it, so I don't know exactly what it says. But there's enough of a drift that you can understand it. It's going to be about humility and justice. The Lord is a God of justice who knows no favorites. The text says that the Lord is a Kritis, and there is with him no doxa prosopon, looking at the impressiveness of the presence of this person, the face of this person. Though not unduly partial toward the weak, yet he hears the cry of the oppressed. The Lord is not deaf to the wail of the orphan, nor to the widow when she pours out her complaint. The one who serves God willingly is heard. His petition reaches the heavens. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest till it reaches its goal, nor will it withdraw till the Most High responds, judges justly, and affirms the right, and the Lord will not delay. Now, but I have, from another text, I'll just read the last part of it. He does not forsake the cry of the orphan, nor the widow when she pours out her complaint. Do not the tears that stream down her cheek cry out against the one that causes them to fall? That's the one I think we have in the lectionary. The point is easy to get, though. If you are responsible in any way for looking after people, make sure the poor are not neglected, oppressed, overlooked, hustled out of their fair share. Look for the poor. The rich have plenty of ways of making sure that they get what they want. The poor don't. Now this, as you can see, is the motive behind Pope Francis saying that the drive of the church is to care for the poor. So that's how that text goes, you see. Speaking about God now, he does not forsake the cry of the orphan, nor the widow, when she pours out her complaint. Do not the tears that stream down her cheek cry out against the one that causes them to fall. Now that's not in the lectionary that I'm looking at right now, but it's difficult to, and I can't find my Magnificat to see how which parts of all of this he picked up. The purpose, though, is this, as the Pope is saying so well. Care for the poor is the sign of a man of God or a woman of God. Care for the poor is a sign of the true church, the authentic church, cares for the poor. And that's the point that Sirach is making here. And it's the theme is humility. That is, I can identify with those who are being persecuted, overlooked, if I myself take my stand with the poor. Now, I want to go on then. You'll probably all hear, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. Psalm 34. And so, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall ever be in my mouth. Let my soul glory in the Lord. The lowly will hear me and be glad. I tell them what God has done for me. They will be encouraged. Jesus tells them, I gave my life to the Father in great suffering for the atonement of sin. And the Father heard my cry and raised me from the dead and put me in my humanity on the throne of the divinity. You can trust him. The Lord confronts the evildoers to destroy remembrance of them from the earth. And it's true. Except for the very, very famous crooks, people don't even know them anymore. All the people know that Al Capone was some kind of gangster in Chicago. But Mother Cabrini or Mother Seton, they're remembered. When the just cry out, the Lord hears them, and from all their distress he rescues them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and those who are crushed in spirit he saves. That brokenhearted and crushed, you see, I don't have a heart for this. I don't have a heart for living anymore. I can't even feed my kids. That notion, you see. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants. No one incurs guilt who takes refuge in him. Are you in bad shape? Yeah. Are you afraid to go to God because you sinned a lot? That's a mistake. Go to God. Sure, acknowledge your sin. But realize, if God, the Father, sent His only Son, if God, the Almighty God, the Son, eternal Son of God, poured out His blood on the cross for you, He certainly doesn't want that to get wasted. No matter what shape you're in, go back to God, and you will be welcomed with open arms. Just look at the way the parable about the lost sheep, about the prodigal son. I think I'm going to take that one. The prodigal son, I'm going to rip it out of the Bible and bring it with me on Judgment Day. Look, Lord, You said it. You know, if I come back, You'll take me, You'll embrace me, and You'll have a party. You see? Now that's from another, but the psalm says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. You see? Just don't have any fight anymore. You know? And those who are crushed in spirit, He saves. The Lord redeems the lives of His servants, and no one incurs guilt who takes refuge in Him. Well, those are the lines of the psalm. You can see why, like, the theme is humility. Well, humility is really spiritual poverty. Lord, I don't have a dime. I got nothing that can impress You. But I trust You. I trust Your love for me. And I'm going to do my best to portray Your glory, Your love, and to bring people to know You. As it says in another psalm, come all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. I'll tell the world. And that happens, you see. How many times, in certain circles at least, sometimes more among non-Catholics, you want to hear my witness? You want me to tell you what God did for me? Yes, tell me. Well, I was a crook, I was a drunkard, I was everything. My wife finally started to pray for me. One day, all of a sudden, I realized what a mess I was in. I was scared to death, but I went back to God, and He received me and took care of me. And now, I'm a reader at the Mass. Amen.